Welcome back to the Word for Life ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. These broadcasts are made possible through the teaching and testimonies of the pastors and members of Brookside Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us. If you don't go to church anywhere else, love to have you come and visit with us. Our Sunday worship services are 9 and 10:15 and then 6 p.m. in the evening. We're located at 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. If you want more details, you can visit our website at www.thewordforlife.org or call us at 262-783-6180. Well, the last couple of times we've been together, we've been talking to John Zimmer, who was on staff here as our youth pastor and assistant pastor. And then the Lord began to really work in his life and then his wife's life concerning being missionaries in the tiny island of Palau. And we were mentioning how that they decided we're going to go do our best, learn the language right there, and what a fun time that was, just spending a lot of time with people. And then the Lord sent a special young man to teach you a couple hours every day, and what a blessing that was, and just the testimony of God raising up a church. Now, as you consider the fact that God has done that, anytime you're doing God's work, the devil's going to be working as well. And John, I was asking you the last time of maybe just evidence of God's work. And I know there have been times that, boy, the devil did everything he possibly could, which called you and your people to prayer. Give us an illustration maybe of how God showed himself strong in a situation like that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different opposition that you face when you're there. We don't face in Palau, we don't face physical opposition like some mission fields. And I'm so thankful for that, but it doesn't mean it couldn't happen. And one of the biggest areas that we face opposition is just through relationships of people that are not believers. But I would say probably one of the largest things that happened where our people were drawn together to really cry out for God's help was this last December. There was a what they called a super typhoon that was barreling through the Pacific Ocean. Normally, because we are so close to the equator, the typhoons would travel north right away, so it wouldn't even really put us in danger. But this particular typhoon was just dead set on Palau and continued to barrel over with winds that were exceeding 200 miles an hour. One meteorologist from Guam said that, I'm not trying to scare you, but if a coconut is flying over 200 miles an hour, it can go through a cement wall. Many of the Palauans still did not believe it was coming. So I would say a fraction of the Palauans actually prepared for the storm, which made me a little bit more nervous as well, just knowing that this thing had potential to bring such damage and not many people were doing anything about it.
Were your buildings able to withstand those kind of winds?
Well, Palau, because we've not been hit by a typhoon since the 1960s, I would say half of the buildings are made completely out of tin.
Oh my.
Our house is a cement-walled house, but tin roof, and so just disaster for a typhoon.
Exactly, yeah. So nobody was really preparing that much. And I remember being here, and of course, word came back to us to pray, and we were praying very, very diligently. Tell us what God did.
Well, as we saw this storm coming, we didn't want it to go north because my brothers are up in Yap, and that little island is about in the same condition as we are as far as preparedness for a storm. And yet the meteorologists all said that because it's so close to the equator, it can't go south. Well, churches began to pray all around the country and really around the world. And about 6 p.m. our time in Palau, which was when people were waking up here in America, they cut off the power. Mm-hmm. What was fascinating is that Sunday morning I preached on Mark chapter 4, and it was so calm outside. It was an eerie calm. And I told the people about Jesus calming the sea.
Sure.
And I explained that just because we're Christians and believers in Jesus does not mean that the storm won't hit us, but that we can trust him through the storm and trust him no matter what comes our way. And so as we said goodbye and we hugged each other, I took their names and found exactly where they were going to be staying so we could follow up. And then at 6 o'clock in the evening, the power went off. They cut it off. And we all just waited in our houses, and the wind started picking up and the trees started bending, and you could hear some trees snapping. And it was the strangest feeling. You couldn't go anywhere. And yet, you know, this thing is just coming straight at us.
Right.
And about midnight, God turned that storm south.
South.
Which it was not supposed to be able to do that. God turned it south, so we caught only part of the storm, exceeding just a little over 100 mile an hour winds at the gusts.
Okay.
So no one was killed in Palau. About 500 people were without homes. And so that morning we woke up and I picked up several of the men and we took chainsaws around and cut people out of their, so they could leave their homes.
Right.
And then we came back and began to work on the church building. But praise the Lord, there was no major damage.
Wow. Now, were there any islands south of you?
No islands south, but when that storm went south, it continued to barrel to the west and actually hit a portion of the Philippines and did some pretty serious damage there.
I see. Now, you've been there, and many people have come from the States to have ministry, to do their best to share Christ. You've got a church. Tell us how the leadership of Palau has responded to all this.
Well, it's so neat because when we first started forming, and those spear fishermen started to trust in Jesus and the church started to be formed, the guys basically were saying, are we a church? And I said, yeah, we're a church. And they said, well, what's our name? And I said, well, I think it has to have a Palauan name.
Okay.
So they named it Omokulela Biblirabelau. Which means anchored in the Bible in Palau.
Okay.
And so from that outset, leaders and people from around started to sit up, because when you look in the phone book, there are no other Palauan-named churches except one, and that is it's really the indigenous religion called Mothaknay, which is kind of a dark animistic religion.
Okay.
And from there, the Lord led our little church to love music. And we just love to sing together. And so through a series of things, God allowed us to begin singing at these big funerals. They have a custom in Palau where the funeral is almost like life insurance policy, where all the family, about 500 people, will gather together and give money to help the family whose loved one passed away.
Oh, I see.
So the family, they hear about us and invite us as a church to come and sing songs to encourage.
Okay.
So we sing it in Palauan, and then I'll take 5 to 7 minutes and share in Palauan the gospel. Well, many times, almost every funeral will have government workers, leaders come to those.
Right.
And so we began to sort of get on the radar, if you will.
Okay.
And eventually they started inviting our church to be part of New Year's celebration, where they'd have us sing a few songs and pray or read some verses or share something, and building relationships with these government leaders.
Right, right.
Which was exciting to see. And then having teams coming from Brookside and other people coming from the States to help, many times they would bring another avenue of connecting with these leaders. And so it has been exciting to see how the Lord has allowed this little church in this little island to have beginning to have more influence there.
That is exciting. And I think you've even had some folks in your church actually come to the States and go to Christian colleges and that kind of a thing. That is really neat. The use of music. You were involved in music here at Brookside. You weren't the music pastor, but I think you did a lot of singing, that kind of a thing. And then the little ukulele that I heard you mention, which is much better than a piano. It's kind of hard to drag a piano. But everywhere you go, you can carry a ukulele. The use of music is a ministry to the soul, isn't it?
It is. And it brings joy where there's sadness.
Yes.
It brings hope where there's despair. And if it's the right kind of music, it can really bring the gospel right into people's hearts.
You know, John, people are listening to us this morning that also love music, and I just want to encourage them, wherever you go, go with a song on your lips. Go with a song in your heart, and many times you'll find that people will maybe even recognize the song. I had one time had a fellow stop me, and he said, "What are you singing?" And I didn't even know what I was singing. I was just singing without thinking about it, and it was a hymn that I'd been singing all my life. And he said, "My mother taught me that song when I was a little kid." And he said, "Wow, you brought back some amazing memories of church." And so, obviously, that opened up a conversation. Oh, do you go to church? Well, no, not anymore. You know, but just singing or even humming or whistling. I know some folks say, "Well, I can't sing." Well, then whistle. You know, but music can have such a ministry of lifting the eyes to the Lord. And I think your family sings too, don't they?
We love to sing together. Yeah. And it's so neat that the Lord put us in a place where that is such a major part of what we do there.
Right. And so tell us about your family. Tell us about your wife and your girls.
I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Jamie. Mm-hmm. And my daughters, Allie, Ashley, and Emma. One thing that I love about missions is it draws the family closer together.
Right.
And so much of what we do, many times during the day, Jamie is helping the girls with homeschooling. Mm-hmm. But a lot of ministry opportunities where we're visiting people or going to the hospital, we can do it together.
Right.
And we encourage people as a family unit, and it's been so neat to see how the girls have caught a burden for that.
That's amazing.
And Jamie really has encouraged that in their lives. And as a result, each of the girls at one point were praying for one of their friends to come to know Jesus, and all three of them have been able to see one of their friends, if not more, that have put their faith in Jesus as a result of that relationship that was a redemptive relationship.
Right. And you know, when your kids are a part of what you're doing for God, that doesn't stop when they leave home. That just continues on with a life message because they've been able to be a part of that life message. Well, John, we've run out of time again this morning, but I trust that God will use your ministry as a family. God will use maybe even music that you sing together as a family to reach out into your community, wherever you are, wherever your friends are, maybe even reaching into the circle of your extended family. But let God use music to lift the hearts of people out of the depths of despair up into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that this broadcast will be an encouragement in that area in your lives. Until the next time, I trust you have a fantastic day.